Zero.
What up, everybody? Welcome on into another edition of the Put It in the Book show, our fourth spring training special on these New York Metropolitans. I am Steve.
Four horsemen on you.
I got a guy. His name is Keith, right on over here. What's going on, sir? How's it hanging?
What's going on, gentlemen? It's hanging a little to the left, and I'm waiting for the season to start, baby. Let's go.
Oh, thank God. Thank God it's hanging to his left. Let me tell you something, because I don't want anybody poking me in the back. How's everybody doing? Let's go Mets.
Oh, all right. What's up, Rodriguez? What about a little cranky pants back there? Are you here today?
Yes, okay.
There. I feel better. Hello.
Hello.
Somebody had broccoli and beans for breakfast.
It's awful.
You smell it from there?
Wow. I do. It smells delightful.
Potent. Ten potent. Cities away. That's a potent farter.
It is.
It travels fast. Potent.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, fellas, got a couple of weeks till opening day here. We're kind of winding down here just to give an update of what's to come. Next week, we'll get into some stat predictions for the Mets, individual players, because we're always spot on with those. And then the following week, we'll get into our overall MLB predictions as we do each and every year, awards, why the Mets are going to win the World Series, and the such.
Wow, I like hearing that. Finally, a year where you're optimistic. If anything,
I'm always optimistic.
I'm picking the Phillies this year. Spoiler alert.
Don't do that. But for today, we'll talk about, obviously, we'll get you caught up on whatever news is going on out there. Brian Hum sucks. We'll talk about free agency. I have a question to pose to you guys a little bit. Overall free agency, not just with the Mets, not just with any particular dumbass agent. We'll look at where some of our Metsies landed in the MLB right now top 10 lists that MLB Network does each and every year. And then we'll talk about the Mets starting pitching, how it's looking so far. Will it last into the season? And then is there something that needs to be done with guys like Marte and I don't know if somebody else older that might be coming in or not, but we'll get to that also. Right on the other side of this beautifully produced, amazing opening intro video. Producer Joe, get it started, baby. How'd that come? Get it, Keith.
Yeah. No. No. All right. Oh my God. Start the show.
All right. Welcome on back.
I still
in.
Get a kick out of that. You know that, right? I get a kick every time we do this show.
I know. It's a tremendous moment in the show's history.
Not that kind of kick.
All right. So first I want to get into just an overall free agency discussion regarding what goes on in Major League Baseball. And does Major League Baseball have a huge free agency problem? Here's my thought here. You still got a Cy Young Award winner that's unsigned. Unsigned. It's March 14th. We're 2 weeks away from opening day, and you got a...
You're talking about Bauer? Like that.
No, I'm talking about Snell. Bauer's also not signed. Guys who hit 30-plus home runs last year, not signed. And this has been dragging out since the winter meetings, right? So then you look at football. I know this is a baseball show, but look at what football does with their free agency. Their free agency was set to hit Tuesday or whatever day it was, Monday at noon. And Monday at noon, a flurry of moves coming in. It's exciting. You have no idea. Like, you have to go and study and see what players are on what team, because 10, 12 running backs change teams. My point is that the free agency signing period being like that brings excitement and brings all this stuff with it. Whereas baseball, we're still just languishing with all-star caliber guys out there. It's weird. What do you guys think? Should baseball move to something like that? Maybe not a two-day thing, but like a two-week signing period in December.
I don't think whoever
wants to start.
I don't think baseball free agency like timelines are broken. I think dollar amounts and caps are broken, you know, because in the NFL there are caps, and a lot of people it upsets, but let's be honest, it works, right? The caps in the NFL work. You have all these free agents that are great free agents this year just sitting out on the market, but are they really great? Let's look at next year's free agent market, right? So we're complaining this year that we're going to say that, well, nobody's picking up these free agents. Nobody's picking up a Snells. Nobody's picking up a Martinez. But next year, you have your Alonzos, and there's a lot of free agents that are coming up next year that are huge. Are these owners just holding out strategically, or are they strategically holding out altogether and spending that kind of money? That's where the question comes. I'm going to vote on the side of they're holding out strategically for the better players.
So, all right, so you say that. Oh, Keith is gone. You say that. So I don't know if he's hearing my response. But the fact that Blake Snell, and again, I'm not a huge fan of Snell. I'm not. But look at, he's got two Cy Young Awards just fresh off of one. And I get that there's big players next year that are going to be free agents. But the way starting pitching is, I am shocked. I'm stunned that he's not signed, especially when he was linked to the Yankees and now the Angels. I'm just like, pitching is such at a premium, right, Rodriguez? So
he should have. Listen, even though he has a history, because with Snell, I think they're looking at his history. When you're great, when you're bad. When you're great, when you're bad. So they're probably expecting the hammer to drop on him for next year. So they're not in a rush to sign him. Plus, he's going to command a lot of money. He's going to take a lot of money. There's a few teams that can do it, you know. Yankees, Angels, Dodgers, you know, the East Coast and the top West Coast teams, they can do it.
Well, the Yankees are out now.
We can do it.
They said they're not going that route, even okay, with Cole out.
They're out, so maybe somebody else will pick it up. I'm sure that there are guys out there that want him, but, you know, it's a steep price, and he has a history of being bad every other year. You know, so I could see that with Snell, but free agency has gone nuts in Major League Baseball. Free agency has no cap, basically. How are you going to give one single person $300 million? Like, insaneness. There's no cap, so the smaller teams can't compete. They have to build. They have to build from within. You know, so. That's the problem with free agency. I think he should just cap it, do it like the NFL, make it simple, man. I like that. I like that crazy thing. I love it. You know, let it be one day. Let it be a whole 3 days full of freaking free agents switching teams. That's it. And then they give you some kind of, you know, that other deadline for when the people that are hurt, you know, like another 2 months later, everybody that's sort of injured, they can do another free agency. Do it like that. Why not?
If I could jump in real quick, just to give you like the last, I think it's 5 years of his innings pitched. Is Snell a good pitcher? Yeah, when he's on, he's a good pitcher. A lefty, I mean, anybody would want on their staff, right? But let's go back to 2018. He pitched 180 innings. That's acceptable in this day and age. But then after that, 107. After that, 50. That was the pandemic year. Okay, so we'll excuse that. But then after that, 128. After that, 128 again. And then last year he pitched 180 again. So because he pitched 180 it's last
five
year,
five inning pitching.
Wait, when
is he going to pitch 110 this year?
When did he leave the Rays? Because remember they had that six and seven man rotation
after 2020. He went to the Padres.
Okay,
He went to the Padres.
Yeah, I remember they used to go like
two consecutive
a starter.
Years. Yeah, and then 180 the final year.
Okay. I was just asking because you know the Rays will go like six, seven, eight man rotations.
Yeah, and guess what happens? They win. They're always in. I know. They're always fighting. So guess what? Somebody else should be thinking the same thing.
So we should all be wanting less innings.
You might as well. They're not going to throw more innings.
I think it's insane that a Cy Young Award winner pitches 180 innings. But I'm from the old school. You know, I grew up really baseball. I fell in love like deeply in the 80s with baseball. And, you know, you still had your Nolan.
What happened?
I don't think he knows. I think producer Joe's trying to do something. And he drunked it up. He's pissed off at Keith for talking about the old days. No. Well, Keith hung up on himself?
Wait, you're on mute now.
I'm on mute?
Keith is on mute.
My internet keeps crapping out. So I think you all owe Joe an apology for blaming
I don't know. He's gonna do something any second. It'll be me.
You owe Joe an apology.
Yeah, he agrees.
Okay. So, yeah, so what I was saying was, you know, I think it's a shame that 180 inning pitch season is a Cy Young Award winner this day and age. I mean, I'm from the old school where there's the Mike Scotts and the Nolan Ryans and these kind of pitchers, but
How dare you say that name? Screw you, Mike Scott, and your cheating.
What? We beat him in 86, so screw him. Yeah, and Nolan Ryan, so all good.
Yeah.
Barely.
Okay.
But so W is a W, and I don't care how it looks because at the end of the day, it's
W's still, a W. W's W. No hitter's a no hitter, right, Johan?
See, and it would be me you would go after if I said that. It would be you'd be really mad at me.
I said no hitter's a no hitter.
Johan. Oh, okay.
Because it's fun seeing you pissed off, Rodriguez.
You kiss your mother with that lying stinking mouth.
Oh,
I'm a Parachi. He's a liar.
God, who got the hit that wasn't? We would have hated him even more.
I hated
him even more.
You know what? He'll never get off that list in it completely.
Okay, good. Good. I brought it back. Let's look at what's going on.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
Where? Yeah, it's him. Mole. It's him. Mr. Moley Man himself.
All right. So, and then speaking of free agency today, Steve Cohen apparently came out and said, go ahead and sign JD Martinez. So who wrote JD Davis in the thing?
It's got to be Terzi, all right?
The Mets are in serious negotiations with JD Davis. No, I think it's JD Martinez. JD Davis both. Was released.
Both of them?
They're
interested in JD Davis again. He's only 30.
I don't think JD Davis would take serious negotiations. I think it would just be negotiations. I think JD Martinez would be serious negotiations.
Well, you know. Why is Martinez more serious than JD? Davis, you don't know.
But JD Davis had a decent year last year. He wasn't terrible.
Yeah. They just brought in Matt Chapman, right?
Right.
Imagine having JD Davis as a backup DH and third baseman. I mean, that's not a bad deal. Bubble Butt will come back with
the
vengeance.
Who the hell? Darren Ruff. My God. I was trying to remember who we traded. JD Davis and two him. People for Darren Ruff.
Joe, can you eliminate him for mentioning Darren Ruff?
We need to come up with band names here that we just don't mention anymore.
We do need a list of band names. Actually, throw it out there to whoever's on there, Terzio and the boys and your mama. Who do we ban? Give us some names to ban. Throw them out there. I'm ready to ban number 15. You just got me riled up again on him. I was so I was calm. I
had it's harder to ban a current member of the organization.
I know.
Jeremy Burnett.
No, Jeremy Burnett. Why? What's the reason?
Okay.
Bill Money. Moving on.
Okay. Jeremy Burnett.
Oh,
we hit for everybody else but us, but you know, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, Milwaukee, right? Did you play for Baltimore too?
He almost became like an MVP with Milwaukee, right? He was a monster for a minute.
Yeah, then we picked him up after that almost MVP season, and he just, and then he even further.
Baroga, Carlos Baroga. Yeah. I like the band when he played with it for us. Did he play for us, right?
All right.
Baroga, him and Vizcaíno. And Vizcaíno went to Cleveland for Baroga.
I'm going to go punch holes in my drywall, and then I have to replace it after we talk about these players.
All right, don't get upset. These are band names.
Vizcaíno. Vizcaíno's a skank. Vizcaíno's a skank.
He was a skank. He was a skank.
Against us in the World Series. Screw that guy. His stupid goggles.
Remember when we traded for Juan Samuel?
No, all right, let's
talk about that second baseman we got from the Marlins. Remember that?
Oh my god!
Aaron Heilman. We defended Aaron Heilman a bit at the one game against the Marlins.
Aaron Heilman wasn't bad all the time.
Raul says Snell is not going to get big money. No, I don't think he should get big money. I'm just still shocked that he's just chilling out there. Wasn't exactly his name.
Raul
Sanchez. What's his name?
Frank Terzio Hernandez, I think. What's
the actual first name? There, Sanchez with the cab.
Duane Sanchez.
Without the R.
Duane Sanchez.
When you say cab driver,
That doesn't even sound right. That name.
Cab driver Tom Glavine, missing teeth.
Oh, yes.
He deserves that or more. He deserves all that and more. Enjoy the 300 wins with us, Braves.
Let's reel it back in, Aaron.
Guys.
That's a bad name.
Really quick, send out best wishes out to Daryl Strawberry, who suffered a heart attack the other day.
Yes, sir.
So a little cheers going out to Strawman. Wish you well.
Strawman, blessings. Mm-hmm.
I wish Keith was respectful enough to remain on screen when we were toasting a Mets legend.
But I think he's trying.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Apparently, he has bad internet.
I never have bad internet. My internet is usually on point. I don't know what's going on.
A couple weeks ago.
I'm going to drop out.
It was you and everybody else.
I'll come right back.
I didn't have issues down here. I'm with AT&T. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm on AT&T with the show. Usually, I have almost 1 gig speed upload and download.
There he is.
Yeah, let me restart just in case. I'll be right
we'll
back.
We'll see in a couple. All right. So, we can't ban any names that are current to the organization. We can't ban Joe Smith just yet.
Terzio, hold that in your back pocket because that's coming
happening. While we wait for Keith, we're just going to play some like hold music.
Oh my God.
Like fancy dinner music.
Fancy pants.
Oh, Rodriguez, where are you headed on the yacht this weekend?
I don't know.
It's like a fancy cocktail hour type vibe there.
We'll stop by the island.
All right. So,
Coney Island. Right.
That's, right?
Watch the team, minor league.
Let's get it. Let's start talking about, as Keith is back here, we'll get into some of the top 10 guys, top 10 Mets that are on some of these positional lists here. Let's jump right into relief. I'm just going to go in the same order as these guys are. Relief pitcher. Absolute stupidity here. Edwin Diaz is there, top 10. He's number 6 on the list.
He didn't pitch for a year, man. It's fair. Everyone knows where he can really end up. So Six is a fair assessment after coming back from, you know.
I think it's actually a favorable breaking a leg after.
I don't appreciate.
I mean, that was horrible.
Actually, the guy who's number one, Devin Williams, actually he's hurt now, so he's going to be out for a few months. So let's bump him up to five then.
Okay, if it makes you feel better, he's number four.
It does.
Okay, that's.
I like Diaz. We got to defend our guys here. Me.
That's a fair assessment. Hearing that music is fantastic. Though when he came in the other day, even minor league game, hearing the trumpets.
Yo, can you play that small violin?
There it is. That.
Okay. Who was the bum last night? Who got the first two outs in the ninth and couldn't get the last out? Where the hell?
Oh, Lucchesi. Lucchesi, right?
Where did he get him? I mean, what do you mean?
I thought Lucchesi came in and gave up four runs or something. No?
Diaz left the team today because his wife's going to give birth? Or are you talking about? I don't know what Terzio is talking about. Don't worry about what Terzio is talking about.
Don't worry about it.
All right. So you guys think it's number six is pretty okay. Producer Joe, what do you think about that ranking there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the year off is the only reason I'll accept it because he's a top two when he's on his game, you know?
All right.
We'll see if he has a year back.
Yeah. Pretty unhittable.
That stuff is disgusting. Cowbell man, Edwin, what's going on, sir?
Edwin.
Welcome in.
Dorito.
Moving right along here to the infield, one that we do not have a horse in the race is third baseman. There is no New York Metropolitan on that list as of this moment. But Austin Riley heads this list from the Craplanta Braves.
What is
it along?
His brown starfish was tight or something. What, like, why is he not playing?
Who's
Brady? There was something wrong with him.
Brady.
He had tightness in his starfish or something.
Brett Beatty.
He's got something back. I just said Brady.
No.
It wasn't working for me. All right. I'll just do the top few here. Austin Riley. Well, we'll run down. Austin Riley isn't one. Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado, still with San Diego. He's at number three. Rafael Devers is four. Alex Bregman, five. Then the rookie, well, second-year player now, Gunnar Henderson for Baltimore. Nolan Arenado still up there. Max Muncy still up there.
And our good old
friend, Rodriguez's favorite, Justin Turner, rounds out the top 10 list at number 10.
Oh, baby. Thank you,
David Wright.
Captain America.
All right, these people were drunk when they did this list because they're going from the outfield to the infield. We move to center field where we also don't have a horse in the race. We'll get there.
I don't know why Nimmo wasn't up there. Top 10 center fielders.
Nimmo was moved to left field, so he's on the left field list. So, but center fielders number one, for the Skanks, Aaron Judge, Julio Rodriguez number two. Lewis Robert, number three. They have Mike Trout in at number four, obviously with the injury stuff over the years.
He's always injured.
Yep.
Wait, Mike Trout's injured?
Unfortunately. Not right now, actually.
Is Mike Trout not injured should be the question.
He's
always injured, that guy. Whatever. Crackhead.
Not you know, he's playing baseball and making millions of dollars, but just got buried.
Yeah,
like, best player for how long, and he got buried in that shitty team.
He should have left.
Left fielders.
Should have left.
He should have. But if he would have left, I feel that he would have went to the Phillies.
He's a Philadelphia kid.
Yeah. So he's an Eagles fan, douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all right. Left field. We do have a horse in the race, baby. Where have you seen the list? Do you know where he's at?
No, tell me. List?
Where do you think he is?
If Nimmo, I'd put him at seven.
At seven. At number seven is Lars Nootbaar. What a great name to.
Wow. Who?
Lars Nootbaar.
Wow, that's a great name. I'm going to remember that.
It's fantastic. But the real Does Keith need to be brought back in? Keith, you good? Okay. Nope. Sorry. He gave me the just bring it, the rock. All right. Well, hey, you spoiled the surprise, Isaac. Nimmo's number two on this list.
What? Of left fielders?
Of left fielders. Yes, sir.
Wow, that's a sad position then. I mean, he's got good stats. Don't get me wrong. But to be number two, you should be very good to great.
And yeah, he was ranked the number four center fielder.
Top five.
Number four.
How many home runs did he hit last year? 24?
We're talking about glove or we're talking about overall? I'm sorry.
Well, this left fielder is a power spot. So I'm looking for, if you're putting Nimmo at 24 home runs as a power hitter, 270. Okay. Well, he's a leadoff hitter, so he's not gonna hit. What happened to Key?
But they are toying around with him not being a leadoff guy anymore.
Okay. All right. Let him pop some ball some more. Well, 60 if he
plus
can
RBI
get,
out
if,
of that leadoff spot.
Well, if he can get 25, if he can do 25 and 80, legit number two and three, maybe number three. I mean, left field is that, dude, we've always seen power hitters in left field, guys that can absolutely crush. So, yep. Okay. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy.
It's nice. It's a very nice.
I don't agree, but I'm happy.
So let's skip over first base because Keith is not here. I'm talking about Alonso. Move to second base where we do not have a horse in the race, sadly.
How is that with McNeil being our second baseman?
McNeil ain't there.
Yeah, keep lifting weights, McNeil. Keep lifting weights and playing golf. Keep doing it. That's all I'm
saying. So this is weird now because last year, Mookie Betts was the number two right fielder. This year, he's ranked the number one second baseman, but he has now moved to shortstop.
So that's going to be fun. That's going to be
the
fun
list
in
is all
the,
jacked up.
The fantasy draft, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes. But other names, Marcus Semien, Jose Altuve is number two. Luis Arraez from the Marlins. With that bat that he's got, of course. He's got a bat on the list. Oof.
He's banned.
Keith, I don't think Keith's coming back. Some type of update.
I think he's updating the toilet bowl. Refreshing it. That's what he's doing.
All right, so let's continue on here to right field. Once again, we don't have a horse in the race here.
With Marte on the team.
Very
encouraging.
So, but I mean, do you think you get Marte on this list if he played last year? Is this the same type of a deal from Diaz?
If he played to his average, he's top five in right field.
Oh, hell
did
yeah.
you see the throw yes. he made the other day? He
yes.
gunned this guy out at third base. That's amazing. And he's starting to hit the ball again, you know, lifting it up. But all he's got to do is one little niche and he's golden again. So, I mean, he hasn't slowed down. He's in shape. He's running well. Mm-hmm. He's playing good defense. If he doesn't perform, guess what? A couple of more draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about that at the deadline.
Or at least one more.
What did Reggie Jackson say about Pete Alonso? There's the O. I didn't hear that. Right fielders is Acuna and Kyle Tucker from Houston, Juan Soto from that other team that plays in New York.
Don't say that.
Corbin Carroll, the breakout kid from Arizona.
Yeah.
Tatis Jr. is also on this list. And then you got guys like George Springer. I guess George Springer has been moved to right field. Remember, he got signed as a center fielder. Teoscar Hernandez, who I kind of wanted to put in left field. He went to the Dodgers. Yeah.
What a surprise. Like everyone's gone to the Dodgers or the Blue Jays.
Terzio said the Blue Jays, right? Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm.
Terzio said he's a great player, plays 150 games, slug over 40, 45 home runs, a great compliment to any team. Yeah. To this team. Don't get silly, Reggie.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I don't
know. He's a Metsy for life, everybody. Just relax. I'm relaxed.
Relax.
That's it.
Shortstop. Your boy. Francisco Lindor is on this list. Last year, he was number 5 on this list. This year?
2.
He climbs up to number 2, sir. Number 2. Francisco Lindor. Number 1 is Corey Seager, which you can't argue with that.
He had a better offensive year, yeah. I mean, you know.
I went, and that's last year. And then you got shortstop is a stacked position when you look at the names: Seager, Lindor, Bogarts, Dansby Swanson, Trey Turner, Bo Bichette, Carlos Correa, Bobby Witt Jr. A ton of just you give the little gun salute there, Keith. Welcome back. But shortstop is a stacked position, and our guy sits at number 2. No complaints on that, I don't think.
Best athlete on the field is the shortstop. So the shortstop should be putting up numbers. I mean, you know, gone are the days of only defense. You know, you can have offense now. You know, Ripken started that, you know. I don't even want to say his name, but that other guy that played on the other team in New York, who was a horrible steroid cheater, married to Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, he changed the position. You know, so you can get production from the shortstop nowadays and still get that reliable defense. Lindor proves it every day, in and out. 150 games a year he's been averaging, right, last couple of years. So he's given us what he needs to give us. We need to bring some help in and get to the playoffs, man.
He broke his finger, remember, in the hotel door?
Yeah, he played the next day. Like, I mean, come on, guys.
So Keith, what do you think about Lindor being ranked 2nd on shortstops, behind only Corey Seager?
I mean, I think I would. First of all, as a Met, I'm happy to have Lindor. If you tell me, would you want Lindor or Corey Seager on today's Mets? I'm going Lindor all day. So I think Lindor should be above Corey Seager. Somebody even mentioned to me today in just some random Mets talk that Lindor would be a great leadoff hitter.
He's cheating on you, Karachi.
But it was an interesting thought, you know, because I think if Nimmo is doing what he's supposed to be doing, he would be the ultimate leadoff hitter, and then allow Lindor a 2nd or 3rd to, because he's a run producer. The bottom of the lineup sucks. So if Lindor comes up every inning with nobody on, it's not going to benefit us. But
he only lead off truly once.
I just wonder what you guys think about that.
I like Nimmo 2nd, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind having Lindor 1st, because I think that would raise his average. It might drop his power number, maybe a couple of might lower his power numbers, a couple of home runs and stuff, but if it brings up his average, it comes up to more hits, you know. And him being on base with his speed, Nimmo being a contact guy that puts the ball in play or walks, and you're looking at 1st and 2nd. You're looking at 1st and 2nd the other way too, but I like to see Lindor get his average up. It would make him a more effective player from both sides. You know, he can come up against anybody, you know, lefty or righty. If he's close to 300 or at least in the 280 to 290 range, that would translate to a few more runs for us and definitely make him into a more productive player.
I think if you flip them,
break it down, you think that would force him to really be a lot more selective on his
pitch. It would raise his average, because he would try to hit more for average and get on base. He would probably bunt more. He would slap the ball the other way sometimes when he feels like he's down in the count. You know, a lot of times now he's trying to produce a run because, you know, we're down. But that only happens in the like you said, Farach, it only happens in the 1st inning. So that's the only time he's doing it. But that one at bat out of 3 or out of 4 can raise his average up significantly throughout the whole year. Yeah.
Which speaks a lot to your confidence in his baseball intelligence, which
IQ
says a lot, right? Baseball IQ.
Well, my thought on it is that if you swap them, you're kind of getting the best of both worlds there, because you got Lindor now in the leadoff spot with speed, which is, you know, you want that. But if Nimmo gets on, he's not a threat to run. And then you got Lindor coming up, and the pitcher doesn't even have to pay attention to first base with Nimmo. So he's more focused in on Lindor. Now, if Lindor gets on base, now the pitcher's thinking, I got to pitch to Lindor because the next dude is a pain in the ass, is going to make me pitch and work the count. And if I get Lindor on and he steals second, and then I happen to walk Nimmo, now I got first and second, nobody out, and here comes trouble with whoever's in that three spot, Alvarez, Alonso.
And don't forget whoever. Nimmo's 6'2", you know, 210, 220. He's a big dude. He's got a lot of pop. And if he can sit on fastballs with Lindor at first, because they're going to have to throw more fastballs to keep him honest so he doesn't steal the base, mm-hmm. he's going to sit on a fastball. He can develop his power now. Then he becomes a 270 hitter with 25 to 30 home run power. And then it's a different ball player right there. He really becomes a left fielder, at least, you know, my opinion, but whatever.
Then he becomes a discount.
I already think Absolutely. He's a discount. Because...
Dude, that guy could be a junior captain. He's Mr. Go Lucky, Mr. Happy. It's a great kid to have on the team.
Mama Farage loves to smile as he walks down first base.
Yeah. Yeah, the walk.
Okay.
I'll take a walk every time at the second position because you know what? If the leadoff hitter does what he's supposed to do and gets on, and then the second hitter walks, you're giving that leadoff hitter a chance to steal third. And now, and regardless, you got a player in scoring position.
And I mean, you're right. You can get more aggressive hit and run with Lindor on first base and Nimmo, who makes great contact. And, right. And, you know, a gapper, Lindor scores.
And so, if he walks, even better. You got a first and second man in scoring position. You
know, and the other thing
that
we're
just starting the game. That's just starting the game. Right. You're not even thinking about the rest of the lineup coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about Marte. Think about how important Marte is going to be. If Marte is Marte, that extends this lineup. Like it stretches it out.
It stretches it out. Unbelievable. It makes you got to worry about pop. Every other pitcher.
You got to worry about speed. You got to worry about glove. You got to worry about arm. So. Marte could be a major key here this year.
He was a major key when we won 100 games, you know.
Yeah.
He has to be a major key now.
All right. Keith was giving the signal to bring him back on, but then it cut off again. Okay. What's happening? Listen, Rodriguez is Mr. Reliable.
That wasn't me. No, that wasn't my
That was producer Joe.
That was the voice above.
All right, let's see if Keith is back. Let's move to first base. Oh.
I think producer Joe just cut him.
I'm just kidding. It's all right. All right, so we'll do shortstop. Let's get to catcher, and when Keith comes back, we'll get to first base. Catcher, do we have a? Nope, we do not have a horse in the race. Thought maybe we can sneak him in under there, but it's
I think that horse is coming up fast on the outside. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, they have Alejandro Kirk on there from Toronto. I'd take Alvarez over.
Dude, by the end of this year, Alvarez will be number three.
And by the way, the guy who everybody wanted us to sign, which I don't think we did on the show, even though we wound up with McCann, was JT Realmuto. Is in at number four on this list. Ta-da!
That's solid.
Well, that's solid. All right. So top five. That's all I'm going to go here is Adley Rutschman from Baltimore. Will Smith number two. Sean Murphy number three from Atlanta. Realmuto number four, and then the Contreras brothers, Milwaukee and St. Louis, go five and six. McCann.
I bet you the guy that used to be on St. Louis is still could be a ghost number eight. What's the guy's name? The catcher from St. Louis that just retired.
Oh, Molina.
Is it Molina? No.
Yadi.
From St. Louis. Yadi Molina. Yeah, that's true. Oh my God, what's going on with Keith?
The universe does not want to talk about first base here. Starting pitching.
Okay.
Rodriguez. Right, Rodriguez's ears perked up. And for starting pitching, because your ears perked up so much, let's go from 10 on up. Number 10, Sonny Gray.
Yeah, dude, he's solid.
What?
He is solid. Now, don't say
like
what.
Sonny Gray's like 43 years old now.
Sonny Gray's a pitcher. He's a true pitcher.
That's good.
I mean,
yeah, there's some older guys on this list. Mm-hmm. Max Fried in number 9. Logan Webb. For San Francisco comes in at number 8. Okay. Spencer Strider comes in at number 7.
I hate that guy.
For Atlanta.
All right.
Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler. 6th. He does deserve it. I mean, yeah. You know, unfortunately,
don't say it.
He didn't want to do it with us.
Zach Wheeler, number six. Number five.
Yes.
Blake Snell. The unsigned. The unsigned. Well,
That's a Cy Young vote right there. Because I mean, you know, how are you gonna put guy that's not even signed with 2 weeks left for the season to start? That's the amazing part, that he's not signed and it's 2 weeks of the season. So
wild. And everybody's always looking for starting pitching. I guess the price has got to come down.
Something's wrong.
Number you, four, Morris. Somebody who's starting on the IL for a second year in a row, Justin Verlander.
Verlander. Our guy's not on the IL. That's on the IL. Really? Nope. Oh,
wow. Not there, bro.
You know what?
Number three is Zach Gallen.
Joe's favorite?
From Arizona. Oh, Verlander, yeah.
Verlander.
Joe's got a soft spot for Verlander. Number two, Corbin Burnes out of Milwaukee.
That's the guy.
Number one is Mr. Potential Tommy John, Gerrit Cole. He's number one on this list.
I'm sorry. I don't want to laugh about that. I don't think it's Tommy John. They can laugh. They can laugh. I don't want to laugh too much. But it's a shame. All right. Now we can talk about first base.
Well, yeah, Coleslaw. Nickname is Coleslaw, says Terzio. Yeah,
yeah. Make it quick.
We should rush this. All right, let's get the first baseman. Let's get the first baseman.
I gotta talk fast because we're gonna talk about the first baseman before I get cut off again. I gotta make sure all my words get in, so we're gonna have to go with Pete Lonzo needs to be first base.
There you go.
I don't know what's going on. My internet connection is never an issue.
This is a live dispute. Live complaint on air for AT&T.
Live complaints. AT&T, get it right. All of our users will ban you.
All of them.
All of them.
Switch on over.
All five of them.
All five of them things.
Yeah. At least cost you $100.
Sorry, guys. Thanks for
all right. Listen here. We'll do top seven here. Number seven, Vlad Guerrero Jr. He was three last year. He's fallen four spots.
Seven?
Yep.
What? Oh, that's what I thought. Good.
Right behind him is actually, if I go to number eight, is Brandon Belt.
Well, Brandon Belt's like 100 years old.
I know. But that's why I was wondering with what's his name, the pitcher, before. Number six, Pete Alonso fell one spot from number five. So
who's in front of him?
This is good. All right. Number five is Yandy Diaz from Tampa. Number four is Paul Goldschmidt.
Mm.
He was number one last year. He's number four now. Number three is Matt Olson from Craplana. He was number six.
Higher batting number, average, right? Yeah.
Number two, the douchebag in Philadelphia, who is now a first baseman, Bryce Harper. Number two.
Oh, wow.
And at number one.
Hold on. Put your brakes. He's a first baseman. I thought he was just a DH because he didn't do shit with the glove.
He's a first baseman now.
But okay. His glove has been like.
I understand. He's a DH.
How much of the percentage of these placements depend on the bat? Because I can't see him being a good first baseman. He was a crappy right fielder.
80% is bad. 80% is it's a position you want to hit her.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's why he's so high.
I hate him.
Bottom line, F him.
Pretty much. Who's number one?
Number one from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Freddie Freeman.
I hate him again anyways because the trader.
Up for grabs. Right. I mean,
Wait a second. Time out. This is deep now. This runs deep. Rodriguez liked Freeman because of the bond that was created between, you know, the kids and DeGrom.
And the trader.
And now he hates
trader.
DeGrom. So do you regret respecting and liking Freddie Freeman?
No.
Okay. So wait,
I have no regrets.
You still
but
respect
I hate him
Freddie
again.
Freeman. You, okay.
I respect his baseball skills. If Pete Alonso could hit 320, and still hit his 45 home runs. I love it. So I'm okay with that. What the hell, Keith is gone again?
That's a $500 million contract there.
No, he needs to, after he signs, he can start hitting 310, 320 again. You know, that'll be fine.
Imagine.
I would like to. That's Vladimir Guerrero, dude. Vlad is a 300 hitter with 40 home run power, 40 right. plus home run power. So it's not impossible.
All right. So that's the list of
so we guys have some good players on this team, bro. We really do.
And
you know,
I think we have future. Like next year you'll see Alvarez on this list for catching, I'm sure.
For sure.
And in the perfect world, Beatty sneaks into that top 10 third baseman conversation, maybe like a 13 or 12, and you know, at least in the conversation.
I think Beatty just needs time, but Vientos, I'm hoping that he breaks the mold, man, and he goes berserk this year. We really need some more power. We need some power behind a homegrown guy that we can keep for 5 years easy. We need stuff like that, you know? Put money into other positions.
How many games? Because that this is going to be something that we're going to watch throughout the whole season. Beatty and Vientos, mm-hmm. how many games they play, how much time they get. What do you think the split would be at third base? Do you think Vientos gets a healthy shot to play third base, or is it just strictly DH? Yeah, if Beatty struggles.
80% DH, 80% DH, you know, to not Beatty struggling. Even if Beatty's not struggling, Beatty can do with, you know, like doing 80% of the work at third base in both, because he's the future third baseman right now on this team. And Vientos can spell him every once in a while against tough lefty, bring him into third, and then somebody else can DH. Then give the kid a break. But he has to play more games than he did last year, and he has to get at least double the amount of at bats that he had last year to see what kind of player he is. So you got to play him, even though it might hurt us in the win column. And I hate saying that, but honestly, if you want a guy for the future, you got to play him. You got to give him a full season, unless he's batting 0.83. You know, you got to take him out. But if he's in the 200 range, you got to let him play the whole year, see what he does.
I think there's opportunity for both Beatty and Vientos, right? Because if you take McNeil and you shift him around, because McNeil is so flexible, he can play second, he can play center, he can play left. And then you take Nimmo, he can play left, he can play right. If you just kind of work that rotation along with the DH included in that, I think you can get 110 plus games for each one of those players and really get a good idea of what they look like, because the Mets already took the approach that we're not going into the season for a championship. We're going in to build for a championship.
And not on purpose.
And not on purpose. If we go far, great. But if not, you know, so with that approach, you can't deny our talent, our young talent, like you, to your point, Rodriguez. And I think there's a lot of...
And look what's coming, dude. You know what's coming. We got some young outfielders that are coming up that are strong. Clifford, Drew Gilbert, Jet, Acuna. There's young blood coming. So we if things work out, because you know how it is. Like Ferracci always says, you know, these are just draft picks. You don't know if they're going to work out or not. You never know. But if we hit on 80% of these draft picks, we're good for 10 years. We don't have to sign players. We're going to have studs for 10 years. Easily. Right. Easily. So, you know, you have to build a team with that in mind. And thank goodness that somehow the fans are letting Steve Cohen do that. I can't believe it. I'm in shock, to be honest, that the New York Mets fans are letting Steve Cohen actually try to build a team without trying to lynch him.
Well,
I'm surprised.
I think we've had decades of being shit on.
Shat upon.
We're willing to just listen to somebody.
We've been Will Pond.
The internet just shat upon.
See what Keith happened? Again. See what happened? Keith talked about the Will Pond, and with the SNY power, they cut it down to that.
Okay, so we talk about the young talent. I'm interested to see what kind of an offer they put together for JD Martinez. I did say I'm open to them signing, but just for a one-year deal. I'm not like that's all that he should get.
No one wants to sign him. Obviously, he's trying to come to the Mets because no one's really putting out real numbers out there. So he's going to be a Met. I don't want him because of many times he said he doesn't want to be a Met. He said it many times.
They said that there's mutual interest. Yeah.
You don't have a job. Is his only mutual interest? I don't have a job. Can somebody give me a job? I need $15 million to sit on the bench and get up four times.
Isaac, you're 100% right.
Welfare until I don't have a job and I can't buy groceries for my family. Exactly. Then all of a sudden, there's this huge.
How am I supposed to take care of my family? I'm $17 million a year.
Right. So, I would rather see our rookies. I would rather see those at-bats spread across Vientos, Beatty, when they're not having an opportunity to play in the field. I'd rather see them DH and not have J.D. Martinez take it up. Because truthfully, 100%. If that's the approach we're taking this year, then let's go ahead and give these kids a chance to prove themselves so we know what our future looks like. And if our future is not them, we know to move on from them. You know, because otherwise
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't – JD Martinez thing. I don't believe it. I don't, you know, if they sign him to me, it's a dumb move.
If it was an August move, and a September move, and we were like on the verge of making the playoffs, all good. But yeah, you know,
put Isaac's comment up there. Wait till June. Fans will lose it if this team isn't decent. Yes. 100%.
Yeah, that's true.
Rodriguez and Keith said what they said, you know, this is a transition type of year. And I said, oops, if accidentally we do well, then we do well. But there will be a massive outcry if Vientos is struggling and JD Martinez is hitting bombs for Atlanta or Philadelphia.
Yeah, and we're still 15 games out. We have to be within the striking range. You know, let's not be nutty fans here. If we're like 14 games behind Atlanta in June, and you're,
who cares?
And you're
how many games out was Arizona last year?
Hold on, let me just say.
You think miracles always happen? Every year is a miracle year.
Okay, I would like to frame this moment right here, and officially say that I can never be called poop and milk again, ever. They're like, there's no miracle gonna happen here.
No, you really think the staff that we have is a World Series
compete for a wild card? Can compete for a wild card? Absolutely.
You think they're a World Series staff?
No, but nobody thought Arizona was a World Series staff,
or
the Rangers were going to win the World Series last year. Oh, but they won the World Series. Okay,
it doesn't matter.
It's weird.
They won't do it again. They'll never do it.
No, of course. I hope not. But your boy does have a ring now.
Who?
Your boy.
Jacob DeGrom.
Who's that? Who?
Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom.
Sigrom, baby. Sigrom.
Traitor! Right. And if he pitches a whole year this year, he'll be Jacob.
He's not.
Sigrom.
He's already on the 45-day disabled list. There's like a Hall of Fame list of players that are not pitching to start.
Rodriguez, he may
get the All-Star break
this year and win the Cy Young because of that. 128 innings. I mean, wow. Who does that anymore?
It's ridiculous. Give me a break.
Traitor. Didn't Roger McDowell pitch 100? No, Turk McDowell. Didn't he pitch 120 innings one year?
John Franco used to pitch 95 innings a year.
Yeah, but he used to wear his father's undershirt. So
John Franco threw an 81 mile an hour screwball, though.
Yeah, you know how nasty that thing used to go.
Disgusting. Dart away from the
right. That's why he was called Johnny Heart Attack. I mean, I love Franco, but man, Johnny Heart Attack.
His first game.
Think about it.
Yeah. And that one, the
the John Franco pitch, if I think of just that one, it's that one where he froze Barry Bonds in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was great. That was sweet. Nasty. Yeah,
I remember that.
Barry Bonds was like, this son of a
heart
gun.
Attack. Franco against Bonds. I was like,
I might have played myself to that.
What about him? Look at this. There we go. See what happens? All right. Moving on from John Franco.
All right. Really quickly before we head on out of here, the pitching staff has been performing well in spring. Obviously, we're hoping that translates to the regular season. Jose Quintana is named the opening day starter. Obviously, that is not something that we thought would be happening, but here we are. Keith, smart move with Quintana.
I'm glad you moved to me because – I gotta be honest, when I heard Quintana is going to be the opening day starter, I was all kinds of upset and I had all these different feelings about it. But in processing that thought, I'm glad I had some time to process that before the show because I was pissed off. But it really is the smartest move in terms of what we're working with right now in our starting rotation, right? Senga would have been the best option, obviously, but that's not an option anymore. And Quintana is the most seasoned, experienced pitcher we.
Isaac says the starters will surprise. The starters are decent. If Severino, if this is like a turnaround. Back to what he did several years ago with the Yankees. I mean, thank you for that discount. This way.
Everyone on the staff should be a seven inning type of pitcher. There we go. Here we go. Welcome go, Keith. Go. Back. Hurry up.
It's on mute, Keith.
It's on mute.
It's better on my mute because I said a lot of four letter words in that particular instance. So, my bottom line, just to sum it up and make it quick, Quintana is the most experienced and seasoned pitcher we have. So, it makes sense that he's going to jump into a high pressure situation like that. But it also speaks for what we have in terms of what our front rotation is, that Quintana is our front starter. It makes sense based on what we have. It doesn't make sense because we should have better, my opinion.
We have a team full of young veterans. I mean, starting pitchers are all young veterans. You know, basically, they're all in the low 30s. You know, even Ty Lohr is creeping up in age. He's 27, 28 or something like that, I think, right? Ty Lohr. So these are young guys that should know how to pitch and stay competitive throughout the year. If they don't have their fastball, go to their curveball, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if they can keep up their ERA the way they've had it in spring training, only because the bats are always behind in spring training. The pitchers are coming in throwing fastballs by them. So, of course, their ERA looks better. By sometime in May, early May, you'll see if they still keep going with this ERA thing, then they're for real because by that time, the batters will have caught up, you know, and everything will start to even itself out. So if they got a 3.5 ERA by May, I'm ecstatic in this world. I'm as happy as can be if they at 3.5. Four, even four, I'll stomach and not throw my
And you're right in it right out of the gates.
You know? Yeah.
You're right in it.
And the four runs a game, you know, then it becomes an offensive game. And I think we have a decent enough offense that can score four or five runs, if not every other game, for a good four or five game streak. So, you know, we're competitive, I think. I think we're going to be a competitive team. So
we just got to avoid what we saw last year and the taxing of the bullpen early. The bullpen was really good early on last year. People forget about that.
They were very good, really good. And it's a good bullpen right now that we have. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are some talented
guys that have
been in big pressure situations. And you have a Japanese kid that throws 100 just to bring him in from the minors, even if you don't put him in on the squad. So there's talent there. There's a chance for us to be competitive and maybe sneak into a wild card spot. while the young guys develop.
Yeah, and everybody in baseball knows once you secure a wild card spot and get in there, who the hell knows? You never know what the hell is going to happen.
And you get that experience, that thirst, that want for that playoff game. That'll drive these guys, these athletes. It drives them.
And what's going to really drive is down that stretch run when a team. So there's a difference between the Mets with expectations and the Mets doing well without the expectations. If this team is performing in late July and into August, those nights and those afternoon games at Citi Field are going to be insane.
Because
they're going to be rooting for the kids. It's not going to be like, oh, we were supposed to win 95 games. You know, we're probably going to win 83, 84. But holy shit, we're in this. Let's get behind this group of kids. Alvarez popping, you know, bombs and stuff. So that's the potential of what it could look like.
The Mets get into some team fights with league rivals.
Let's do it.
No, I mean,
no, sir. Oh.
I think that was producer Joe.
Bullshit.
He jumped in the stream with audio and killed Keith. Poor Keith.
All right, we'll see if Keith is able to come back, but we're gonna start wrapping it up here.
We have to. But he's back. Yeah.
There we go.
My filter's gone though, but I don't care. But anyway, so you see my pencil.
Don't get distracted.
you see Squirrel. My seat cover, right? Isn't that awesome? Anyway, listen, maybe I'm old school. I'm thinking about like Rempe, the Rangers. Some of these fights, they bond the players, right? If you look at some of the old school 1986 Mets, a little after, you got your George Fosters, you got your Darryl Strawberries, even that big fight that broke out with Dwight Gooden. You think about like Ray Knight at third base.
Who do we have a rivalry with?
I would say the biggest rivalry.
Beat the shit out of the Phillies. Philadelphia. I want Bryce Harper to get a beatdown.
I want
Pete Alonso to stomp on Bryce Harper's throat with his cleats.
Pete's a big guy. I think he's more of a tank, but I don't know if he's that kind of guy. You know, I don't know if he's like ghetto. Like,
do we have a guy on the team like that? Who do we have on the team? Remember, we used to have Hernandez to fight with anybody. Ray Knight wanted to fight. You know, Daryl, Dwight. You know, Kevin Mitchell. My God.
I feel Alvarez is getting anybody's face.
I believe so. Okay, Alvarez.
He'll beat the shit out of
it. Like, honestly,
big boy. I know he's short, but big. Okay.
He's a strong kid. But I mean, you know, I think Pete is let's go type of guy. Pete, I don't think
we know McNeil should stay away.
McNeil should just pick daisies. Go pick some daisies in the outfield. Stay over there. Twiddle your thumbs. Get out of there, McNeil.
I would really to see like Nimmo just get on top of somebody and just like what Stone Cold used to do, just sprawl him out. Brandon Nimmo,
he would probably laugh like the Joker with a weird little grin on his face. Oh, shit. That's Nimmo.
I would like to see like somebody like Marte.
Fight.
Marte is a big dude, man. I mean,
Marte will come in like a superhero.
I don't want him to get hurt though. So let's have somebody who can just not get injured while fighting.
He is a little fragile.
I'm scared of the groin.
And I can see like Lindor being like a little punk ass, like in the middle, throwing uppercuts from the bottom of the pile, knocking people out. Like,
do it.
What are you talking about? Lindor being there boxing, and we Puerto Ricans can box, man. Let me tell you something. He will be knocking.
Yeah, but he's like 10 pounds versus everybody else's 25 pounds. So he needs to like stay low.
I think it's Alvarez. We put him in the front of put Alvarez and Bryce Harper right in the middle of the diamond. Just do it.
Lindor needs to throw like them little Mac uppercuts.
McNeil can come out with a steel chair.
It works. If it works, it works.
All right. We do want to see some fights out there, but make it eventful. Make it against Philly.
I'm sure I will go out of the scraves again. But go ahead, Roger.
I'm sure. Let's get up on out of here.
Poor guy.
Keith, let's start with you, just in case you get up on out of here before we do.
I just want to say I'm completely uncertain, to be honest with you, as a long time Met fan. I'm completely uncertain with where we will land this year, but I will tune in, of course, like I always do, and I'm really hoping for a competitive, fun season where all the way up to the end we have a chance or a hope to make the playoffs.
Gary.
Terzio says AT&T says your $5 rebate card is in the mail. That's what he said. Terzio says DJ Stewart looks like the second coming of Daniel Vogelback.
He meant choice.
Kinky there, Laris.
Here we go. Somebody stop him. This is too much.
All right, Rodriguez, what you got here on the way out?
I can't even look at him. I can't even look at him in the camera. I'm just going to say, let's go. Don't mind this guy. He's weird. He's doing weird stuff that I can't see.
What's going on there?
I'm going to cover him.
You're showing too much skin, Keith.
ew.
Rodriguez, not Rodriguez.
Deuces, I'm out. Producer Joe.
Can you get Joe?
Producer Joe.
See if he's got any final thoughts. He was worried, actually, before he was telling Terzi he didn't want to put
I don't
to
know
sleep.
What he's doing.
Producer Joe, you got anything on the way out? He's never put – I've never seen it happen.
Guess Producer Joe.
It's going to be a good year. Every year. Every year is going to be a good year. I'm always optimistic. Hope springs eternal. We're going to have a good year. I'm a little concerned about the dead bat society in spring training. I mean, but our pitching looks amazing. Just we had such long drop. There it is.
I think Keith's sleeping now this time too.
Oh, you know what? You can what there? Have some of
I'm
that.
I'm closing out the show solo, baby.
Sons of bitches.
Oh man. All right. Keith, blowing the wind up there.
Wow.
All right, we got two episodes left before spring training is over and opening day gets here. Look at my professionalism here as we close out the show. We'll talk next week about stats. We'll get our previews in. We'll see how closely they align with what is actually going to happen. and then the following week, we'll get the final primer down and we'll get all the MLB predictions that we got going on. Who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to win the Cy Young Award and MVP and all that stuff? That's from now. Outside of that, peace out, everybody. Let's go, Mets. And we'll keep
you posted
what's going on in the group. Let's do it. Peace out, everybody.
Later. Put up the bullets.